In 2018, U.S. veteran J.T. Blatty made the decision to go back to war, and this time, the mission took her to the front lines of Ukraine. The conflict had been brewing for years. In 2014, Ukrainians rose up in the Maidan Revolution to protest their government's close ties to Russia. Weeks later, Vladimir Putin annexed Crimea and started a stalemate battle for control of the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine. Blatty had seen combat in Iraq and Afghanistan in the aftermath of 9/11, but she didn't carry a weapon to this war. She carried a camera, and with it, she formed a bond by taking portraits of the volunteer soldiers who rushed to the front line to defend their country. And then, 2 years ago this week, the stakes grew drastically higher as NPR covered the outbreak of Putin's full-scale invasion.
That's the sound of Russian bombs falling on Ukraine. And in the words of German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock, we woke up in a different world today.
J.T. Blatty was there to document the war each step of the way, and she writes about her experiences in Ukraine, Afghanistan, and Iraq in her new memoir. It's called Snapshots Sent Home. J.T., welcome. It's good to speak with you.
Good to speak with you, too.
And I have the feeling that you and I are pretty close in age because we both watched the towers fall on 9/11 and wondered what in the world that would mean for our futures. It was a very particular time. Why did you decide to join the military?
I was actually recruited to play tennis by the United States Military Academy. So it wasn't actually a conscious decision that I even thought about before. And I certainly did not think that I would be going to war, even though I knew it was possible. I thought maybe I would serve in peacetime missions.
And then 9/11 happens, and then what? Your perception exactly. of what was possible changed.
Yeah. So yeah, 9/11 happened. I was just 1 year into my service as a platoon leader. And yeah, my whole world just spun around. It was just, I think that along with like the entire country wondering what's happening and what's next, I also had this additional layer of, oh my God, I'm going to war, you know? Mm.
You say that you were 23 years old, signing up for a flak jacket. You had no idea what life insurance actually was.
Right.
Were you
yes.
at all prepared? You must not have been prepared at all for what you'd see in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I wasn't prepared. I was definitely not prepared about it. With insurance, I guess there was just no imagining possibly dying in war. You know, like we just weren't prepared for that. It wasn't my mindset.
So what was your experience like in combat in those places?
In Afghanistan, we were there in the very beginning. So it was just this additional layer of fear, at least for myself, because, you know, there's rotations. When people go on rotations into combat zones, you have the opportunity to talk to the person there before, and then it's again and again and again as it's built up. But when we went, it was just this unknown world. We just knew that we were wanted dead, you know, especially in Kandahar. So in Afghanistan, in Iraq, besides our missions and just downtime and the camaraderie that was shared between us and the shared experience, it just creates this, we become a tribe. You know, we don't realize it when we're over there. We don't realize it till we're transitioning, that even if we supported our mission while we were there or thought more about it afterwards, we still became something different and for the better. I feel like our veteran community is very much spread out. All of my comrades from West Point, from 92nd Engineer Battalion, we were just spread out all over the world. And I wasn't really finding my place. And I just felt something drawing me to Ukraine. And just that was it. I just needed something familiar again to cover as a documentary photojournalist, you know?
Well, and I appreciate you saying that because I was asking myself, like, why go back to war after your experience in Iraq and Afghanistan, especially a war that you had no real connection to. I mean, even if history were to question the value of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, at least it was related to your country's story, right? But the fighting in Donbas in eastern Ukraine had nothing to do with you.
It had absolutely nothing to do with me. But when I did get there, I think that the real hook, it was curiosity at first to take part with some comrades to go over there for a summit to help Ukraine develop the Ministry of Veterans Affairs. So when I started doing my research, I started learning about these volunteers. And I'm like, these soldiers, like these veterans, I'm imagining they're how we classify a veteran. You know, you raise your right hand, you take the oath, you're paid benefits, you serve under a contract. But I was learning about these men and women that just took buses and hitchhiked and went to the front line in Eastern Ukraine to protect their homes, their own country, without pay, without obligation to a government. And that is what inspired me, is that these people were fighting for something real, like a war on their own border, something that we don't really have any connection to what it feels like to being attacked on our own soil, except for those who remember 9/11.
Well, as you say, you brought your camera as a photographer, as a photojournalist. And the people you were photographing, these volunteers that would, before the full-scale invasion, you know, just show up at the front line and try to help. Like, what were they doing?
The volunteers that I was photographing, they were specifically from 2014, the beginning of the war. A lot of them were revolutionaries who came right off the Euromaidan revolution. And then all of a sudden, there goes Crimea. And they were in shock. It was like kind of their first 9/11. And that is what drove them. They just started forming battalions. They weren't waiting on the military because the military was not ready to respond. So these volunteers essentially picked up the slack, and they're not going to sit there and watch Russia just come into their country. And people came from everywhere. People came from Russia too. People came from Belarus. People came from Lithuania. All kinds of people came to fight with them.
Well, and you captured such humanity in some of the images you've taken over the years. There are portraits of these volunteer soldiers, parts of their bodies shrouded in a dark background. What was your life like when you got to the front lines in Ukraine in 2018?
In 2018, it was just World War I. It was trenches, stagnant trenches, locked into defensive positions under the peace agreements. And it was impossible to capture anything visceral. Like, you had to be there at the exact moment of an attack, you know, because there were violations to these peace agreements all the time. In a sense, it also reminded me of my downtime when I was in Kandahar, just the waiting game, just being with comrades. And I felt that I was with my own comrades, just being there with them. But post-invasion, that's an entire different story. What is the front line now? It was one time, it was a clearly defined area in Eastern Ukraine. And when you went to Eastern Ukraine, you knew what to expect, that you could be in danger, that there could be a strike anytime. But now we don't even know what that is. It's the entire country from east to west, north to south, is subject to drone attacks, airstrikes on any given day.
Well, and I get the sense that you connected with them as fellow veterans of war.
Yeah.
You write, for over 4 years, I've followed these revolutionaries, walking alongside them as they move to and from the front line to peace life. I've laughed with them, cried with them, drank far too much alcohol with them, raised glasses in memory with them. I mean, what is it about that bond that you felt with these people?
I think that the experience of war for a soldier from any country, even if it's two countries that were once fighting against each other, that we all share something. We have a universal bond. In Ukraine, I found that with them. It was like just an automatic sense of trust. We are family. We are one. And I found my own community there that I couldn't find in the United States, to be honest with you, except with the different purpose that I was supporting a war or being involved in a war that I chose to go to.
But along with that family and that sense of connection that you got, I'm sure there was a fair amount of pain that came with it. I mean, some of the people you photographed, they died. And in some cases, soon after you took the image.
Yeah. And most of the deaths have been, you know, at least for the volunteer project, there's already four at least that have died since the full-scale invasion. Yeah, it's very emotional because I feel like there's nothing I can do anymore, I guess. It's not easy.
No. And thank you for talking about it. You describe some of the fighters as butterflies on fire. It's a certain attraction to the heat. They're drawn into it. And I'm sure you're watching the news as we hit the two-year mark this week of Russia's full-scale invasion. Ukraine has just lost a key city on the front line. There are reports of ammunition running out. Knowing what you know about the people fighting there, your friends, can the butterflies in Ukraine last much longer?
Oh, they will always be on fire. They will never stop until they have their independence. Nothing can put them out.
J.T. Blatty is a West Point graduate, U.S. combat veteran, and a photographer. Her new memoir is Snapshots Sent Home. J.T., thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.